age of 3 months. And she was, at the age of 6 months, 3 months ago. And she was, a man was just walking by the street and he heard a screaming baby and he went down one alleyway and another alleyway and found this little baby. They don't know how long she'd been abandoned there. They have never been able to trace any of her parents or heritage or anything. I recognize you. Yeah, hello. Recognize that girl? Remember the last time? Totally distracting. She was, and he took her to the nearby hospital, and it took them, they said that she was so badly starved when they found her on the street that, like, her front, she was 6 months, so it wasn't like she had a lot of teeth, but the little teeth that was supposed to come in, everything was already rotted in the gums from the malnourishment. She didn't have any hair. She didn't have a lot of life. And after 3 months of care in the hospital, they finally gave her to us. And she was, just a few months ago this year, I hear, you know, the screaming of a child when they get hurt and the screaming when they're just like mad or something. This was a hurt scream, one of those screams. And I'm in my house and I hear her scream outside. And you know the sound if you have kids. And she's four now, so that's the time when they're climbing on everything and, you know, all that stuff. And I hear the scream and I come outside and I see two of the adults of our staff running with Maria past the house. And she is literally, she's covered in blood. The shirt, the face, the whole deal. And you know the instant, like, you don't know where the blood's coming from. You don't know how bad it is. You don't. And that clinic, I have testimony about all of our buildings. That clinic, literally within 10 steps, she was into a doctor. I mean, within 10 steps. And they took her in. They washed off all the blood. We had to do the whole holding her down thing. They numbed it and they stitched her up. And I mean, literally, it was like less than 5 minutes, everything completely done. And I just remember, and afterwards she came to my house and wanted to watch a fairy movie and eat ice cream. So we had a very fun time. But I just remember afterwards, after it's all over and, you know, you realize how, like, tight you were, you know, just like nervous for them. And I remember sitting there and she's all happy and fine, just with this little thing. And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for that clinic. And all of our buildings, I mean, there's just so many testimonies, so many testimonies. The school that you guys have had a lot to do with in that, your pastor just said, we want to finish the tin on the next side of the roof, on the second part. The second part is like the completed part, the short part, and then the big part. That big part is the next part we're finishing. And they just put all the trusses and the purlins in this last week. And so that roof is going to be pretty awesome. Because when we finish that, it means more kids can come. Everything we finish, every next project is more kids that get to come and more lives we get to save and more room we have for more people. So that's an exciting, exciting place. And now we have 20 teenagers at Casa Angelina, 20 children that are 13 or above. That's a lot of people who need the next level of education, you know, the next thing and start their vocations and all that. In the next 5 years, it's going to be, you know, it's that next level that we're doing. We have two people this year that are going on to university. One of them wants to be a pilot, and he's actually enrolled right now in a university in the city to become a pilot. And he got such a good education in this school that you have helped to complete, such a good education, he literally ranked the highest in his class of all that came into this. And this is like a prestigious university within the city. It's very tough to get in. You have to have the good scores. They shave your head like military style. I mean, even the girls have hair up to here. It's just like one of those, you know, kind of things. And he got the highest scores. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. That's a life, you know, these are lives that can change. So very exciting. And somebody paid for, it sponsored his next 5 years of university as well. And that's a huge answer to prayer. Huge. $50,000. That's right. That's true. Yes. And, so we're believing for, I know there's so many things to talk about, isn't there? And, but at the orphanage, my father is known as Papa Yvonne and she is Mama Kimberly. And Mama Kimberly is in charge of the runnings of all things that mothers do. But she's in charge of it for 100 people. So I just want to, just in introducing her to you, she has been, raised all of us, obviously. There's 5 of us. And then now she's been raising all these other kids and all the things that they need. And I mean from medical care and dental care and shots for, diseases they've picked up and the abuse they've received, to their education, to their bedtimes and their sleeping habits and their life habits. And my mom has an amazing anointing of seeing a picture in a way that a lot of people can't see it. You know, oftentimes we get a little tunnel vision in certain areas, or we're really good at a certain area. And she is really gifted at seeing the whole thing. And tonight, I just want you all to just listen with really big ears tonight and really hear what the Lord wants to speak to you, because the message that God gave her for you guys tonight is something that can really change your life and really help you. And she comes to you like a mother, and also like someone who's walked with God for many, many, many years, you know, and really seen the work of the Lord in her life. So I want to come, please, up, Mama Kimberly. And Evangelist Kimberly. And we're going to pray for her and pray for the service tonight. And I'm really excited about it myself. This is very special for me to also be here with her. So if you would just stretch out your hands to her, and one hand to heaven for you, one hand to her for her, and then we'll pray. Thank you, Jesus, so much for this night tonight. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to bring the word. I just pray that you anoint all the words of Kimberly tonight, my mom. I thank you, Father God, for giving her such an anointing and a beautiful gifting and a beautiful calling. Thank you that you love all these people in this room and you never fail anybody, and that this word is the perfect timing and the perfect season for what they need. I thank you, Lord, that your presence will be here tonight, that their ears will be open to receive and their hearts will not be hard, Father, but they will be soft to receive the word on good soil. And I thank you, Father, for your anointing to flow tonight, in the presence of the Lord to be here, which we already know that it is. We feel it, Lord. We thank you for coming so strongly. We thank you for being with us and for your faithfulness. And we praise you for this opportunity and this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I know. I love that. Good evening. I'm terrible with a mic, but at least that's what Gavin says. But I'll do my best. How many of you here are in ministry? I was going to say, if you don't think you are, you soon will find out you are. Because we all are. We all are called to ministry. And, you know, when Jesus, before he went to the cross, he said he took the bread and he broke it, and it was his body, right? And he passed it out. And what this word tonight is one of those words for me. I feel like God has broken me, and my ministry tonight is to pass it out. And it's I think a lot of us in ministry share our lives, don't we? That's our ministry, is sharing our lives. And especially if you fill a pulpit, you do a lot of sharing your life. And some people don't like the crusty stuff, and they just want that tender middle, and I like the crust, personally. And but, you know, when you feel that rejection as you share your life, sometimes when you are in the pulpit, you're just like, forget it, I'm taking my bread and going home, right? But then we come back to Jesus, and we see him, and we're like, okay, you... As long as I know I'm in your hands and you're doing the breaking, then I'm good with that, right? And so this word tonight is about it's about living by God's choices in our life, in every area. And I've been saved since I was 18, and I still haven't given it all to God. I keep finding areas, or he keeps... finding areas. I keep hiding my areas. He keeps finding areas, and he keeps saying, is that my choice for your life, or is that one of those supposed to because you're a Christian areas? And one of my big supposed to areas is in relationships. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to love everybody, be open to everybody, give all we got to. Is that really God's choice for our life? Because I know that I became a Christian to have life, and that more abundantly. And so God just started talking to me about grafting. Thanks, Ive. Thanks. Does it fit under here? Nope. I'll put it on the floor. I wouldn't dare touch that gorgeous pin. I'll just call you up. Drink, please. That's not good. Anyway, I was talking about. So, yeah, thank you. So, who God grafts in our life, that's what God has been speaking to me about, because that's who you give your life to, the grafted ones, right? So, I want to start by reading Romans 11, 17 through 23. But if this is talking about the nation of Israel and how we as non-Jewish people can be grafted into Jesus, but he's used it in my life to teach me. And it says, but if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited. Conceited means proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. If, I love that word, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And they also, if they continue in their unbelief, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your severity and for your kindness in our life. We thank you for the crust. We thank you for the soft, tender middle. And Lord Jesus, we just want to be broken in with your hands. We want to be given where we can do the most good, Lord Jesus. We give our lives to you, and we want to live by your choices for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got a kindness and severity story in my own life. And, you know, I'm a nurturer. I was born a nurturer, I think. I'm a twin. I have a twin brother. He's a little younger than me. We're 10 kids, and then my brother and I. And my mom always said to me, you have to take care of your brother. He had a wonky eye, and he was just a wonky kid. And so I was a little taller, a little, and added up to a lot. And he just kind of loved his position of take care of me. So, you know, he graduated high school because I did his homework. You can fill in all the blanks. But I loved my position of nurture. I really did. I loved loving him, loving other people, just being that kind of a person. And, you know, that was without Jesus. Now, I was extreme nurturer, and I'll give you an example. My kindness side, in fifth grade, we had moved from Colorado to Texas to San Antonio, and I was super shy. I couldn't talk, and I really needed a friend. And I was in St. Pius School in San Antonio, at a Catholic school, and I was just in agony. And crawling across my desk was a little tick. And he was an answer to my prayer. I made him a little box. I named him Fred. He was my friend. And I was going to nurture Fred. Oh, my goodness. Answer prayer. So I had a little Fred. And pretty soon, people started wondering, what's this little white thing you're carrying around? I love to fold paper. So I made him a nice little house. And so I took Fred with me, like, everywhere, and we talk, and we understood each other. It was a bond. And pretty soon as people found out about him, I asked them to give donations to Fred. And they would poke their finger and drip a little bit on Fred. Well, it became the classroom thing. Everybody was poking their... And poor Fred, he coagulated to death. All of my good intentions, my kindness to Fred became his demise, right? So I made the little box into a casket instead. And we sang Amazing Grace and let him go out the second story window, and I cried. I had this connection to this tick. Well, in the severity side of my nature, we lived in Central Texas as a family, and I hit a possum on my way home. I was devastated. I hit this possum, right? And one of the kids in the car with me said, I can still see his foot. He's twitching, right? So I said, oh, I can't leave him like that. So I turned around and ran over him again. And, right? Somebody saw his ear. I said, no, no, it couldn't be true. His ear. Turned around and ran over him again. Somebody said, no, 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 his shell is so hard. I know mommy's still suffering. Oh. Turned around and ran over him again. That was the severity side of my kindness towards a creature. Both of them turned out to be disasters. Though my intentions were, I didn't want this little possum to suffer, and I wanted to have a friend, right? So I had this unnatural, wrong emotional connection to these things that I should have never got emotionally connected to. Anybody? You get emotionally connected to the weirdest things, and you start identifying, and you, oh my word. Well, that's the beginning of the problem. And that carries over into relationships. I get emotionally connected in the wrong places because I'm either going to have a new buddy, my little Fred, or I'm going to end their suffering and run over them a few more times. But I get emotionally connected, and in this area, God has challenged me and said, you are burned out, worn out, and fried out because you've made the wrong connections. You have tried to graft people to you that I've never meant to be grafted to you. In other words, he gave me this. I hadn't embraced the relationships God put in my life, as well as embraced his choices for relationships that weren't supposed to be in my life. I needed to embrace God's choices for my life. Now, my brother Kent was one of those choices that was supposed to be a natural connection. He was my twin brother. I was supposed to take care of him. Though I must say, my whole life, he used me, but he was never connected. He never, when a branch is properly connected, they give back. They bear fruit. We're going to see examples of this in the Word. And finally, at 50 years old, God said, will you let me make this choice in your life? Will you let me make this choice? And I had to let my brother go. In kindness, because remember the Word says that we treat them kindly, even if they aren't attached, even if they're not attached. Well, in the natural, grafting means that the branch that's going to be grafted on, there's requirements of that branch. They have to be tender. The branch cannot be hard. It has to be tender. They have to be able to align with the life source. They have to be able to align, because the life source has to be cut. You know, Jesus was cut in his side to graft us in. And the life source has to be cut in order for that tender branch to be aligned. They have to receive protection. You know, they wrap up the branch and they wrap it and they protect it. They have to receive that protection. And then it has to be the right environment. It can't be a hostile environment, the middle, the dead of winter, you know. It has to be the right season of their life and the life of the vine in order for grafting to take place. Otherwise, you've got a bunch of stuff tied on you that you're trying to give, and they're just brittle, dead branches. Wow. You're not going to grow any higher. It's going to, the supply you're trying to give is going to affect all the other branches that God has connected to you. Wow. The life is being taken, and it's not grafting. We're going to see two examples in the Word of ungrafting and grafting. Because as Christians, we often lay on each other, you should do this for that person. You ought to do that for them. You know, you're not doing enough. You're not being enough. You're a Christian. How can you treat them like that? And we need an answer. We need to say, I love them. I treat them kindly. But God has not chosen to graft them into my life. But he is able, we just read in the Word, he is able to graft them in again. It doesn't have to be your life. It can be, my brother Kent is going to get grafted in somewhere. But he couldn't even have that possibility if I didn't let him go. I was holding on so tight, wrapping him tighter and tighter, that I was keeping him like that little tick from a natural life. I needed him to find where he needed to be grafted in. But in my good intention, I was causing a disaster in my brother. It's called enabling, right? But he was enabling me to feel good about myself as a Christian. And that's disastrous, guys. We have to lift up Jesus, and our lives need to reflect the abundant life of his choices in our life. Not the shoulds of our life. And we shouldn't judge each other and say, you should, because you're a Christian. We should step back and say, God, I know you can lead them. I know you're doing something in their life. Jonah, I relate to Jonah. He's someone in the Bible that I, unfortunately, find myself keeping going back to and back to and back to. Okay, Lord, Jonah again. Well, you know that Jonah hardened his heart. So there's the lack of tenderness. And he ran from God's will. And he got on a boat. I could read all this if you prefer reading it, but I can tell you too. I never know which one to do. But he got on a boat, and he was with a bunch of men, and the storm started going and going and going, and it got worse and worse and worse. It was raging. And Jonah said, I know what's the problem. It's me. I'm out of God's will. And they threw Jonah off the boat. How many believe in throwing Jonah off the boat for peace? That seems so unchristian. Throwing Jonah off the boat for peace in your life. Do you know that peace is something Jesus purchased for you? To not have peace in your life is to say you know better than God's provision in your life. It's saying, God, I'm going to keep this person front and center in my life, and I'll just deal with the storm. I'll just deal with the consequences of it because you want me to love the. I mean, Jesus loved you. How about that? How about letting God love you and getting rid of the storm? He paid by dying on the cross so you can have peace in your life. Receiving that is letting your life shine for Jesus in this world. Having turmoil in your life is not glorifying God. It may be making you feel better as a Christian, but it isn't glorifying God in your life. It isn't a testimony, and it isn't drawing people to Jesus like you want it to. We have to let him make our choices. I believe in throwing Jonah off the boat to have peace, the peace that comes from God in my life. That's a tough one, but you can pray through it, and you can get the answer, and you can let yourself have peace. When Jonah was thrown off the boat, guess what happened? God had a plan for him. You know, in my severity side with my little possum, I would have said, you know, calling from the boat, I'm not going to rescue you. I'm not going to jump in. I would have run over him 3 or 4 times. You know, you're on your own now. You know, you did it. You blew it. You're from God. I'm going to walk away now and be okay with this. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to look back. I mean, come on. When you make a choice, you have to trust God. I let you go. I know God has a plan for you. It's better than my plan of keeping you on the boat or throwing a ring out just in case God doesn't get you. You know, I'm going to trust here. I'm going to let you out of my clutches, and I'm going to trust God. I believe in spending time in the belly of the whale. I believe in letting others do that too. I believe in that with all my heart because I've been there. I've been there. The greatest things happen when you're alone with God. When you're alone with God. When you know other people have peace because you're not in their life. That's an amazing feeling. Have you ever, when Jonah admitted, it's me, I'm causing this turmoil, I'm causing this distress, I'm going to step out of here now and just go be with God. He knew he gave them peace on their boat. That was the beginning of his repentance. That was the beginning of him turning around, admitting, it's me causing this. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to give me some time with God, and I'm going to let you have peace. I don't have to be in the middle all the time. Jonah gave them peace, and God gave him time with him. It wasn't pleasant in the belly of the whale, but it's not supposed to. He was in rebellion. He was in disobedience. It's not supposed to be. You know, we're not supposed to be, are you all right in there? No, it's supposed to be uncomfortable. You know, the funny thing to me is that Jonah spent 3 days in there. You would think you get swallowed by a fish, you'd want out right away. Okay, God, I know it was me that caused this off the boat, but how do I get out of this? You know, no, he stayed in there. He stayed in there for 3 days and 3 nights. It said the seaweed wrapped around his head. He was in the fish bones and the stench. He was in the churnings of that fish in the belly of the whale. And that was God's love, protection, isolation, time with Jonah. What Jonah prayed when he got out was amazing. He said, I want to just read you a little bit. You had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. The current engulfed me. All your breakers and your billows passed over me. I said, I've been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward your holy temple. Water encompassed me at the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. On and on. While I was fainting, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah was welcomed into God's holy temple. And this is what he learned. Those who regard vain idols forsake their own faithfulness. Those who regard vain idols, that word vain idols means deception. Those that regard false visions, lies, worthlessness, they forsake their own faithfulness. That faithful means kindness, good, loving kindness. If we are constantly trying to rescue the Jonas and show them kindness, loving, how will they ever know the consequences of forsaking, of regarding vain idols? How will they ever know the consequences of believing a deception, of becoming a lie themselves? There are consequences. And God, in his mercy, wraps seaweed around our head. God, in his mercy, brings us to a place where we come to the conclusion, you know what? I really blew that. And I need to return. And when his last sentence is, but I will sacrifice to you, God, with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I vowed, I will pay. Wow. You return. The greatest thing about God is he's able to graft you on again. Yes, you have to be removed. Yep. That's the severity of God. And while someone is being removed, we show them kindness. But only God can graft you on again. And it's when you have the seaweed around your head. And my favorite part of Jonah is that the fish vomited him up. He was vomited. He wasn't just, and he's standing there looking nice. No, he got vomited up. That means a lot of stuff came up with him. You don't just vomit Jonah. You vomit all this stuff that had been surrounding him, the seaweed and everything. And they're all laying on the ground together, and now he's got to make another choice. Do I lay here in the seaweed and the muck and say, it's good to see the sun? Jonas, it says he got up, washed himself off, and went to Nineveh. I've been in the church a long time, and I remember times when I would sit around with other Christians when we were younger, and it would be, where did you come from? Well, I did drugs. I lived with a guy. I did this. I did drugs. I lived with a guy, and I sold drugs. Well, I did. I mean, it was the comparing of the fish stories. Who had the most seaweed? Who got vomited up with what? I mean, come on. The important part is he got up. He got up and he washed himself off and he went to Nineveh. I'm so glad that's in the Bible, that there was a violent deliverance of Jonah in the form of a vomitous mass. And I have felt like a vomitous mass. But what was even harder for me was after 3 days getting out of the belly of the whale, I repented. When I got thrown off the boat, I had repented for things in my life. But the belly of the whale kind of felt good. Kind of felt safe, and I'm not going to be exposed here anymore. And, you know, this breaking in the hands of God and being distributed out in my life, that's scary. And so it's sometimes you stay in the belly of the whale longer than 3 days. 4 days, you're still running. You're still in the belly. You haven't given him permission, said, I will pay my vow. I will pay my vow to you, God. Not somebody else can do it better. By now, surely somebody else has gone to Nineveh. I mean, if you really love Nineveh, wouldn't you have sent somebody else by now? No, it's you. And yes, you're on the ground. I imagine there were several people next to Jonah on that ground. Little vomitous masses, every one. I wonder how many got up and washed themselves off. Jonah was mentioned as not only getting in the whale, but he got out of it. You can get out of it. You can be grafted on again. You can. But there is a procedure to it. Tenderizing, alignment, protection, and the right environment. That means it's not all about the stick. It's about the vine too. It's timing. Let me tell you somebody that did it right. We can go to Ruth. Ruth was so awesome. What happened was Naomi and her husband left, I think it's Judea. They left Israel, the land of Bethlehem in Judah, because there was a drought. They didn't have anything to eat. And they went to the land of Moab. Now the Moabites, I don't know if you know who the Moabites are, but remember when Abraham and Lot split ways and they both went different ways way back in Genesis? Well, Lot had two daughters. And they were really afraid because they didn't have husbands that they weren't going to have children. So they were in a cave with Lot, and on different nights they got Lot really, really drunk, and they slept with their father, and they had children. One of them was Moab, and the other one was Ammon. So the Moabites and the Ammonites were descendants from incest. So when Naomi and her husband left Bethlehem, and they went to Moab, this is the reputation of the Moabites. And yet they let both of their sons take Moabite women for wives. One of them was Ruth. And then as the story progresses, the husband and the two sons die. And Naomi decides, I need to go back to Bethlehem, to my people. I don't belong here in Moab. You girls, I release you, my two daughter-in-laws. Go back to your moms. You'll find new husbands. You'll be able to have children. It's going to be great. I love what Ruth says, what Ruth does. We all know it, but these are the words of a true person that is to be grafted into your life. When she says, I'm going to find it. Thought I had it underlined. Thank you. 16 in chapter 1? Chapter 2. Chapter 1. Yes. Ruth says to Naomi, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. That's the tenderness. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. That's the alignment and the protection of grafting. Where you die, I will die, and there I will also be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. That's the correct environment. Naomi needs her. She needs Naomi because she wants to cling to Naomi. She clung to Naomi. She clung to her. That's grafting. Naomi was cut. She was hurt. She had lost her sons, her husband. She was hurting. She didn't reach out to the hard people around her saying, you need to get over it. You need to rejoice in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. God gave her a girl that understood. She said, your God is going to be my God. Your people, my people. I'm with you. I'm here for you. I'm going to be with you. And Naomi said, okay, come on. And they went on. A Moabite went to Bethlehem. When she got to Bethlehem, she had a desire to glean in the fields to help provide for Naomi and her. She began to glean in the fields, and she kind of went out of line. She went into another field. She kept gleaning after the reapers. And she ended up in Boaz's field, and he just happened to see her. And we know the story. But I want you to know that a Moabite who married Boaz was in the lineage of Jesus. Is God able to graft you on again? God always had a plan for all of us to be in the family of God, to be a part of what he was doing. And he used a daughter of incest to graft, to bear. And one of her, she grafted onto Naomi, and part of her fruit was Jesus, Jesse, David, on and on and on. Those little branches kept going and going and going until Jesus was a part of that branch. When we talk about the severity and the kindness of God, how some have been removed in order to graft us on again, but God warns us to treat them with kindness because he's able to graft them on again. He's talking about the lesbians of our day. He's talking about the Muslims of our day, the Mormons of our day, the liberals of our day. Whatever you think is hard and inferior, remember God said, be kind to them. For God is able to graft them on again. God is able. I'm not saying all these people are, you know, inferior people. I'm saying in yourself, you know who's inferior. You know who's not grafted into the vine. You know who is hard, not bearing fruit in their life, turned away, was once a part, now isn't a part, all those things. The Bible instructs us to be kind to them. It doesn't say cut yourself, open yourself up, stick them on, tie it about, and hold on for dear life and pray that they graft. That is not the Christian attitude. That's not God's choice for your life. If you want to bear fruit, if you want to bear fruit in old age, look at Psalms 92:14. We're not going to bear fruit in old age if we have given our life to everything and everybody in the name of supposed to, and not let God make these choices for us. We have to let God make the choices of who he grafts into our life. And it's a reciprocal thing. When was the last time God added a relationship into your life that was reciprocal? That you gave into and they gave back into you. They made you healthier. They gave fruit from your life to other people because they received. They were tender. They received from you. They were aligned with you. Your God was their God. When was the last time that happened? The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow with like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God, and they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. When we let God make the choices in our life of who, not that we show kindness and love to, that's not it, who is grafted into our life. They are tender. They align. Our God is their God. There's a protection there, and it's the right timing. It's the right environment. And then we will be full of green sap. They will be full of sap. They will bear fruit. There will be more branches. And in our old age, we will bear fruit. I had to do a lot of repenting in my life because being a rescuer and a nurturer and a Christian is a bad combination. It's a bad combination. It's very hard to let God make the choices and trust him and not throw lifesavers to everybody. To go ahead and let the whale swallow them up. And to go on with God, what God wants me to do. And to be full of life. What? Energy, huh? That's okay with you? Peace? That's okay? I don't have to be in turmoil and all burned out and on the phone 24/7 and doing all these things. It's really okay to let your light shine, but you have to have the right bulb in there to do it. I mean, you can't just constantly be burned out, and God's replacing it. Oh, my. So tonight I want us to just look at our lives and say, God, I'm going to let you make these choices for me. I'm going to let you be severe, And I'm going to let you be kind, not only to others, but I'm going to let you be that to me in my life. I'm going to let you be severe and remove me from some people. And I'm going to let you be kind and graft me into others. And I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to let you reassess the fruit in my life and say, you know, you're right, I need to let them go. I need to trust that you are able to graft. It's hard to do that with your twin brother. But my whole family has been blessed for it. My whole family has been blessed for it. And I know my brother is blessed for it. And that's what matters. So, Father, tonight, we embrace the choices for relationships that you have given into our lives. And we embrace the choices that you have taken from our lives. And we choose kindness and non-judgmentalism. And instead we choose trust. We know you're a loving God. And you have a much bigger plan than we do. So we open our hands and we let them go. God, I just thank you right now that you grafted us onto you. And you are the roots of our life. You're the roots. And it's our job to receive from you so we can produce fruit in our life. So that we are a good branch. So that we remain tender and grafted onto you. So that we remain full of sap and able to our lives be cut and others grafted into us. So that we don't get hard and get removed and end up in the belly of the whale again. God, thank you for deliverance in our lives. Thank you that you've given us permission to have your peace, your joy, your kindness in our life flow through us in a whole new way, God, that we will be able to be a light and bring others in the right way. That we wouldn't twist this Christianity thing into do-gooders, but that we would fear you, God. That we would love you more than ourselves and what makes us feel good. And that we would truly be your children. We would truly be your branches. And we would bear the fruit that you produce in our lives. That you would receive all the glory and all the honor for our lives. And we just trust you with the rest. In Jesus' name.
Awesome, awesome, Kimberly. Man, that's a lot of wisdom there. Jeez.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Wow. That was very powerful. Laura, could you get on her? Praise the Lord. Man, got 25 sermons out of that. That was really powerful. Praise the Lord. Well, that's what I've grown up with. I think that's a really powerful word for a lot of people tonight, you know. And for the whole body of Christ, God has people that he wants to graft into your life. And also here into the church. I like that part there where it says, planted in the house of the Lord, we flourish. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think you should just get the tape because there's so much stuff. I want to get that tape and listen to it again. There's so much revelation in there that could really save your life from a lot of trouble and also bring a lot of blessings into your life. I think it's a very powerful thing to trust God with people. And, you know, to not, kindness can actually hurt a person if you rescue them from what God is doing in their life. Good or bad or whatever it might be. It's very important wisdom. But tonight, we want to lay hands on everyone that's here tonight. How many of you believe that there is power in impartation, in the laying on of hands? If you believe that God can do a miracle through a natural person, and that natural person could be you, that you don't have to be a superstar, anything. You just have to have faith and believe that if God said something, that He is not a liar and that He will do what He said. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we have seen so many miracles this year just by laying hands on people and explaining to them that, you know, when you have faith, and those of us that are here that are going to pray for you have faith, a miracle will be born. And in the Bible, hands were laid on the sick and they recovered. And I really believe in this. I really, really believe in this because I have seen the miracles of it. And I think this year, we had over 15 miracle babies this year. To mothers that could not have children, that could only give the glory to God for that happening. Many, 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 many hundreds of healings of all different other kinds, and up to thousands of them. And all of that is the fruit of somebody trusting God and allowing God to graft them in to His plan, you know, for their life. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get our hands full of oil, and then we're going to just anoint you with oil. And we're going to believe God that whatever it is that you need God to do in your life, that it will happen today. You know, sometimes people are not ready for what God has for them. This is something I have seen over 40 years now, that you can try and change a person, but you just can't do it till they're ready. I was studying the word grace, and it's the divine influence of God upon the heart, reflected in the life. And you can tell when the grace of God is operating in a person because it shows in their life. And a lot of you are here tonight because the grace of God has been working on your heart, His influence. He's been moving you to draw you to Himself because He wants to graft you into something that you've never been grafted into before. Praise the Lord. And so, do you have oil there? Okay. I want to do it a little bit different tonight. I'm going to have Pastor Robert come up here, and I'm going to have you, Bethany, and Kimberly, if you could stand right here. Kimberly, you stand right there facing this way, and Bethany, you stand here. Pastor Robert, if you and Dwayne can stand right there, and Tracy, stand there as well. And who else would you allow to pray with us? Okay, you, Frank, would you and your wife come up here as well and stand right up here? And you guys get oil on your hands, and I'll show you how we're going to do this. Praise the Lord. My wife at one time was pregnant, 9 months pregnant with Gavin. We were in Fort Worth, Texas, preaching at a church of around 3,000 people. I and my extra sensitive self, after giving the altar call and having, you know, hundreds of people get saved, and I said, all of you that have accepted Jesus, go over here. I'm going to pray for you. And everybody that needs healing, you're going to come over here. And I told my 9-month-old wife, you're going to pray for all those people. And the thing with my wife is she was nauseated all 9 months of her pregnancy. So she was green as she sat there and kind of just looked at me. But a little girl came forward with a twisted knee. Her knee was kind of deformed, I guess. And my wife was 9 months pregnant. And she had the little girl sit down, and right there, with her feeling sick, nauseated, the knee, actually, the twisted part of her knee straightened out. And you could hear the gasps of the people watching it happen. But she didn't feel any power. She didn't feel any anointing. She didn't even have any faith in her mind. But the gift of God inside you will always produce a miracle. And then people just started getting healed and all kinds of different things began to happen like that. And the reason I'm telling you that is when you walk through this line, here's Kimberly, who I believe does have a gift of healing. Bethany went with me on the mission field all her life, and she was around 9. That music is really beautiful, isn't it? Bethy was around 9, and she went into the mountains with me of Mexico. And she's always been like this, just very loving and sweet. And she saw an old lady with a big, big hump on her back.
And I just really felt called to pray for this lady, and she hobbled up to the front. Literally, she was really, really old and had a big hump on her back. And I just put my hands on her, and I, in my mind, you know, I'm a little girl, and I'm envisioning the hump is disappearing and everything, and I'm praying for her with and all my faith. And but I actually started feeling the hump going down under my hands. And I remember just thinking, is this real? Is this, and I'm like opening my eyes, you know, like, is this still in my mind? Or is this really happening? And the whole thing disappeared under my hands. And just from a little kid, that kind of just the Lord proving himself even to me.
And I'm not saying that to boast or anything, and certainly not to try to convince anyone that's an unbeliever that we're telling the truth or anything. I mean, I'm not really even interested in that. But you know, because many of you are the victims of a miracle, that God does miracles. And once you see and you're an eyewitness to a miracle, it doesn't matter what anybody says. You are ruined forever. So remember that it's the devil's job to make us skeptics and unbelievers, because that is how he steals our miracles. Jesus went to his own hometown and couldn't do very many miracles there because they of their unbelief. What I'm saying to you is you've already seen God do things for you. Let's have him do them again tonight, even bigger ones. Whatever it is that's necessary, I'm just going to have you walk through the line. Pastor Robert has a great gifts of miracles and healings, and Dwayne and he, and Tracy and Brother Frankie and his wife, and you're just going to walk through that line, and Laura's going to sing to her to you with her gift of healing that is in her voice and her music. And if you have faith, then God can do that and give you your miracle. Praise the Lord. I mean, remember, this is a church. We're Christians. We're not atheists or agnostics. We're Christians. We believe in God and the Bible and healing. This is called a church. We believe that God doesn't change. And we don't have an impotent God, a powerless God, a heartless God. He saved my children. He saved your children. He's healed our bodies. He's done what everybody says he can't do. He likes the odds. And tonight, we're going to believe that as you just walk through this line, the oil is going to be put on your head, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Walk right through, go back to your seat, and then let's all agree together in one final prayer that everybody's prayers that line up with God's will come to pass tonight. Praise the Lord. And are you all ready, all your prayers and everybody? So, I'll call some of you to come through here, and you'll walk through and then go back and just pray while you're there. None of you have to do this, of course. This is about you wanting and believing. We don't want anybody to come up here who doesn't believe that God does what I'm saying. And especially if you think I'm lying about everything, you definitely don't want to come up here, because, you know, we're not trying to prove anything to anybody other than this is what we have seen God do. So this is called a Holy Ghost church. Praise the Lord, because we would deny what we have seen to have any other kind of church. We believe in miracles. God answers prayer. God heals hearts. God breaks the power of curses over our life. God restores everything that's been ruined. God heals our broken hearts. God mends the pains and rejections of life. We don't have to live with bitterness. We don't have to live with hatred. We don't have to be constantly guarding ourselves from all the con men of the world. We trust God. Praise the Lord. So, I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and as I call you out, just walk right here, through here, and Lord, just sing something really beautiful slowly in the background, whatever God tells you. And when you walk through here, you know, they're all going to touch you, so one of them's bound to have something. Praise the Lord. And so I just want you to close your eyes for a moment and let's trust God. And remember this, don't let your experience become your Bible. You say, well, you know, I've had prayer 10 times. You know that Abraham waited for 20 years before he saw his miracle? And the man at the Pool of Bethesda waited for 39 years. The woman with the issue of blood waited for 19 years. But they never staggered in unbelief at God's promise. So whatever it is you need God to do for yourself or for somebody you love, bring that through this line in your hands. Like this. Put it right in there. Say, God, here are my prayers in my hands. And I believe when they touch me, right through here, And they're just going to touch you in the forehead with faith. You're going to walk right through there and then go right back. And we're going to say a final prayer. Praise the Lord. Some of you need a physical healing. Some of you need an emotional healing. Some of you need your finances healed. Some of you need God to touch your children or your business. Whatever it is, we ought to always come to church and experience the supernatural. Anybody can be intellectual, but once we have a supernatural experience, then God gets all the glory. Right? Yes. And so, close your eyes and get ready. And as you do that, pray right there about your life. And then when I call you out for whatever it is I feel to call you out, just walk through here and let God touch you. If you have felt at any time that you had literally had problems with your mind, whether they're mental problems or depression or anything, and you said, you know, something's wrong with me and I need God to touch my mind. Remember, whatever you conceal, you keep, and whatever you reveal, God heals. So if you say, that's me, I want you to get up and go to this side of the church right here. And then you're going to walk right through that line. And then God is going to heal you and deliver you. Praise the Lord. And you're going to go right over here and start there. And as I say things to you, just, you know, and as you feel ready and your faith is there, take that which has been bothering you. Whatever it is, even if you have medication, whatever it may be that you've been needing, and you say, God, I need a miracle for my brain to be healed. Because there's people in this line that have had some very crazy things happen. And I don't know any of them hardly. But I can tell you that they need to have peace of mind. Peace of mind. And Kimberly said it. I think that was so beautiful, Kimberly. Wow. We should never forfeit our peace. And everybody God puts in your life is there to help you become more Christ-like and peaceful. Praise the Lord. So just walk right through there and let them touch you as you walk through there. And Laura will sing. And it won't take very long, but I just want you guys just to walk right through that line. And just keep, everybody just keep walking. If they stop you, they stop you. If not, just keep going. Just whatever happens, just go right through that line. Now that anointing is flowing, and what I would like for you guys to do that are out there is to join with the people that are praying and be their partners, their faith partners, and stretch your hands out to them. As these people are walking through the line, God will lay somebody on your heart that's walking through here and just say, Lord, I send blessings to that person, and God's going to heal them as they walk through there. Praise the Lord, because this is church. The people praying are not doing something ritualistically, are doing something obligatory, or something that is a part of a habit of a church. We're doing this because we want people to get better. We want them to get healed, to get delivered, to have their prayers answered. And this is how it works. Mental problems are not God's will for anyone that loves God. Praise the Lord. Remember, you've got to be honest enough to let God touch you. Faith touches faith, a miracle is born. Praise the Lord. People are walking through the line. Thank you, Lord. Now, once you go through the line, you don't have to come again, even though I mentioned something you have, because we believe that everything is taken care of as you walk through the line. So if I say something and you've already been through the line, you don't have to come again. Just let the Lord touch you and anoint you with oil. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, this word is for those of you who feel that there is an excessive amount of frustration in your life, because many times frustration can be the sign of an activated curse working in your life. God didn't call you to have a lot of frustration. He called you to have the peace of God. But frustration sometimes that's unnatural, not normal, just regular, but unnatural, where everything is failing all the time. You are not to fail. You are to succeed and to be a testimony of God's favor and blessing in your life. But if you say, you know, like everything is negative all the time and there's so much warfare and negative stuff and you haven't been through the line, I'd like you to get up and I'd like you to walk through that line and have that broken once and for all over your life, and let's change what your life looks like. Let's change what your life looks like. Praise the Lord. And say, I need to get that out of my life. I don't want any any unnatural failure operating in my life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you pray for him for a few seconds, that's kind of a good idea. Praise the Lord. So anybody in that section that we have not prayed for in that first section, would you all get up and come in the line? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't you appreciate Pastor Robert and all of these people, you know, laying hands on you? I think it's a great thing to have people who believe God and believe the Bible and in miracles laying hands on you and believing that you can get healed, believing that your emotions can get restored, believing that the ugly parts of life can become beautiful. Jesus said, He makes all, the word says, He makes all things beautiful in His time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So just anoint them with oil. If you need more oil, put some more oil in your hands so that everybody always has fresh oil on their hands. And walk them right through. Don't pray for them too long, because we'll be here for all eternity. But go ahead and anoint them with oil. Praise the Lord. As they walk by, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're here tonight and you need something outside of your own natural body to keep your heart right, whether it's medication or any kind of pacemaker or anything like that, just get in this line and let God touch your body in that area so that your heart can be healed by God's hand and you can give a testimony that the Lord did that for you. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing when God heals a person's actual heart. Gives them a new physical heart. Wow. A pastor friend of mine was walking out of his back door and collapsed. And his hip, he had cancer in his bone, in his hip, bone cancer, and it actually rotted that part of his hip. Great man of faith. Long story short, that was 2 years ago, and he did a very unusual thing. He said, I'm just going to go natural on this. And he just went natural. And now he's completely free of all cancer in his body. But, I mean, he spent so much money. I went there the last 2 years. And every time I was there, I raised over $60,000 for him. That church just gave it without hesitating. But it has literally saved his life. And he's free of cancer. Praise God. I mean, God does miracles. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Everybody in this section, if you haven't been through the line, would you get over in the line and just flow right through there? Praise the Lord. Amen. Bethany, you're praying too long, baby. It's all good and anointed, but let's get them going, you know. Anoint them with oil there. Praise the Lord. I know that sounds bad, but it's got a lot of people. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What's that song you played this morning, Laura? You know, that real pretty one at the end? Rita Springer song? That's very cool. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Keep that oil fresh on your hands. That's awesome. Praise God. Sing that song with Laura right there while they walk by. Thank you, Lord. 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 Okay, nobody get mad at me. Nobody get mad at me. Nobody get mad at me. But here's how we're going to do. Yeah, you're going to pray for them, but I want you to pray for them while they walk through like that. Praise the Lord. So you can anoint them because, you know, got a lot. So right there. There's enough faith to do it that way. Yeah, you need to obey me. Praise the Lord. All right, guys. Don't stop walking. There you go. You see, there's seven people laying hands on you. One of them's going to get that anointing right there. Praise God. Now, anybody in this section that hasn't had prayer, would you get up and go on over there? Praise God. I may have everybody go through again. I don't know. But just go right through and say, I need prayer. Praise God. I need somebody to just lay their hands on me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. Sing that out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anoint him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let that Holy Ghost flow through every person, Lord, from head to toe. Let the power of God heal and deliver right now. Restore the hearts of the people. Heal their organs of their body. Heal their backs. Heal their past and save their future. Heal their memories, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, heal the marriages. Heal the families. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as they walk by, let the Holy Ghost come on them. In the name of Jesus, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Touch these men that they be the priests of the house, God. That the incense of their prayers will be smelled in heaven, Father. The sweet incense of their faith. Praise God. Heal all her body, God, in the name of Jesus. Heal her nervous system. Heal the muscles of her body. Thank you, Lord. Bless them in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How about His glory appears? His glory appears. Do that one. I like that anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let them receive whatever it is they need, Father, from head to toe. Touch their families. Touch their sons and daughters. Their children, their future children, their future husbands, their future wives. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now just be praying with that oil on your head. Right now is the most important time when you got that oil on you and someone in this line has laid hands on you in agreement by faith for your life in the name of Jesus. Praise God. There's some hernias that are going to disappear. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. There's some hernias that are going to disappear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Heal every person, God, as they walk by in faith, believing God for their finances, their family, their business, their health, their future, their lives, their calling. Every area of their life, God, we cast the trouble out. We cast the hassle out of everybody's family. We cast the battles out. And Lord, would you just keep sending rain? Let rivers flow, God, in this place. Let fountains and springs and brooks come forward, God. Let there be testimonies in all the newspapers of the nation of the rain falling here in Utopia, God, and in all the areas of Texas and any state that needs rain, God. Break the drought and make your name famous, Father. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now you take somebody's hand, those of you sitting there, take somebody's hand, and we're going to agree. Oil should be on your forehead. And I want you to consider that oil as God's touch on your body. Praise God. Do you believe you should have a testimony that anybody would give glory to God for that testimony? Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to say, He wants your life to be a worship service to God. A life full of miracles, of impossible miracles. That only God can get the credit for. Father, we agree that every person who went through that line right now, who needs a miracle of some sort, will receive it, God. And I declare that you have been grafted into Jesus. That He has grafted you into His plan for your life. And that plan includes being blessed. It includes your body being healed. It includes the success of God in your life for what He has called you to do and who He has called you to be. And we do not accept anything below that. We accept total victory, total success, total breakthrough, total blessing. Because we believe it is God's will. And the wisdom that you heard tonight, that it goes deep into your mind and heart, and that you have the discernment to know what stands in front of you and what can heal you or what can make you sick. And that this whole church is going to be saturated with answered prayer. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to do something, and then I'm going to let Pastor Robert come up, but I need you to do something right now. I want you to put your hand on your head, get some of that oil on your hand, and I want you to touch real quickly any empty seat, and just touch every empty seat and say, two people for every seat. Just say, two people in every seat. Two people in every seat. Praise the Lord. Two people in every seat. I am going to believe God with Pastor Robert and all of you that love this city and the cities around, that there will not be enough room in this building. And that dream is never going to die, ladies and gentlemen. It's never going to die because God wants to save the people around this place. And he wants to make them powerful and dangerous weapons. And he wants to graft them in to himself like he has done many of us. Praise the Lord. Kimberly said something last week or the week before, and it set me free about something. And she was talking about herself, and she said that the Lord told her that she needed to be at peace with the relationships she had and the ones she didn't have. She has 10 brothers and sisters. She loves them all, but they're crazy, some of them. And it's very difficult to have a relationship with them, no matter how bad she wants it. And she just has to be at peace. And it really was a word of wisdom. Your life is being orchestrated by God. And be at peace. Praise the Lord. Be at peace with everything God is going to do in your life. Trust Him. Man, I don't know. I could just so much revelation. Praise God. But anyway, on behalf of Kimberly and my daughter Bethany and all my children, I hope we see you at Casa Angelina this year. I know Robert will be going with me many times, like he always does. But I hope some of you will go beyond just believing in it and all that, and put your handprint on the children. You know, the best thing I can do for these children that I've learned is give them family. People who, like Robert, they know him by name. They consider him someone who deeply loves them and cares for them. And so when they see Robert and Laura, they know that's our family that God has given us. When they see Kimberly and Bethany and me, they know we're their family. They're orphans. They deserve a family. God takes the solitary and He places them in families. Praise God. And so I hope you'll come one time this year at some point. But Pastor Robert's coming up. Thank you very much, and praise the Lord. And we'll see you. See you later. Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Evan.